Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic.
What up?
What up?
How was your turtle doing? It was moving around and stuff?
My turtle's doing pretty good. Hanging out, living his turtle life.
Finally found out the gender, correct?
This is actually the other turtle. So Oberyn, We've known since we got him that he was a boy because he's a box turtle, and male box turtles have a kind of a crease on their bottom shell, kind of like a hinge sort of. If you look at their bottom shell, it can rotate a little bit between the front and the back because... Yeah. Is so that they can more easily mount a female.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we saw that he had that little shell hinge and knew that he was a boy. But our other, our sulcata tortoise, a few weeks ago, we found out that he was a boy. We thought that he was a girl before.
Oh, that's cute.
Because sulcatas don't show sex-defining features for the first 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
what gave it away?
There are growths on the front and back of his shell that grow differently depending on whether it's a boy or a girl.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Very cool. Well, yeah. Congrats to, the gender reveal.
Thanks.
So how's your week been, man? Has it been going good?
Good? Yeah, it's been pretty chill. We had two different hangouts this week. On Tuesday, we hung out with some of my coworkers, and then on Thursday, we hung out with some of Elena's coworkers. So, been a pretty fun week, actually.
That's awesome. On my side, we had Earth Day, and
what day was that?
That was on Friday.
Bro, I completely missed that. I didn't hear anything about it.
What? Okay, well, it was everywhere for me. Our firm celebrated it, and our the building that our firm, the Denver firm is in, had an Earth Day where we'd go downstairs and they'd give us a ton of biodegradable swag. And they also brought in birds. So they brought in an owl and a vulture.
It was really fucking cool.
Yeah. And then they had a little snake and a giant tarantula. It was it was really cool. Yeah.
If I want to see a vulture, all I have to do is walk down the street.
True. But this one was big time domestic. It was illegally raised by humans and then given up.
I gotcha.
Yeah, but it was really cool. The bird, the owl. Oh my God.
The predatory birds around here are no joke.
Oh, I bet. They'll fucking come in and swoop all of your chickens and dogs and
one time, right next to a bike trail that we were walking along with the family one time, there was a dead deer and there was literally 20, 25 vultures there.
Oh, yeah.
And they picked that deer clean. It was a couple days later, it was literally just bones.
That's crazy. I mean, they're one thing that I learned is that birds, was it birds? Yeah, I think vultures, they can't get rabies, obviously, because they're not mammals. Fish can't either. So having vultures clean out the carcasses of animals that potentially have rabies is really good for us humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have an owl that lives around here, but I haven't seen it yet, but I know that we have one. Yeah, I've heard it and other people in the family have seen it. And there's a red hawk that swoops over our house every day. And when the other day when Elena was outside gardening, she brought our teenage chicks out and put them in a dog kennel just so they could be outside.
Right.
And literally she said the red hawk swooped down and was sitting on a tree branch just staring at them and kept flying by. And yeah. At one point it swooped almost onto the kettle and she had to run over and chase it away.
That's crazy. It was hungry. Damn. That's awesome.
So what else? What else you got going on?
Quite honestly, nothing much.
Sure there's not any other animals in your life?
Oh, well, I did yesterday. I like the subtle hint. That hadn't happened yet. So yesterday I did go to a friend's house who is a foster cat mom.
Yeah.
Which literally just now she messaged me something about TikTok. Anyway, she's a foster mom to baby kittens, and I've seen a few of them. So either they're extremely sick and she nurses them back to health.
Yeah.
Or like, luckily this time around, the mama cat was with them. So she has like a lot less to do at the beginning phases of cat birth. But yeah, I went over and I, you know, saw the six kittens, and there's one that I very much so enjoy. And I think I might be adopting a cat at one point when they're big enough. Because right now they're like 3.5 weeks old.
Are you like, bleh. What is the age at which you are planning to officially adopt it?
Okay, so she said technically she isn't allowed to give them away until they're, I think, 2 pounds and above.
Okay.
But for me, she said that once the baby basically, because she knows me and she knows like I've had cats my whole life, roughly 6 weeks. So 2 weeks from now. Okay. I can, yeah, and then I'll just have to give it back when she goes for her first and second rounds of like shots and neutering and all that jazz.
I mean, you could just take it to do those things.
I could, but since she's the foster mom, she has to do it legally.
I see.
Yeah, like she isn't allowed to give it to me, and like their paperwork is like super stringent, and you know, obviously it's important.
Have you started thinking about names?
So she wants this batch, like just for her, to be like Star Wars themed, and then I already knew like the name. It's a girl. I understand it's a girl.
Uh-huh.
So her full name will be Chewbacca, but her shortened name will be Chewie.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Chewie. I feel like can go either way. So
I mean, people also name their animals weird stuff. So
exactly.
It's whatever.
And I think Chewie's cute. Come here, Chewie. Chewie.
As long Chewie, as it's where not, are you? I feel like people won't immediately recognize it. Well, I guess it depends on the person. Some people might think of Star Wars first, and then I feel like other people are just going to think that your cat bites everything, and that's why you True. Call Chewie.
Yeah. Well, if I introduce it to people, I'll say it's Chewbacca. Her name is Chewbacca. And I can also make the play because my last name is Chudoba. You know, people always called me Chewbacca. So It's kind of a, you know, play on names or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like I've yet had it, not often, but I have run into a few people who think that my cat's name is Whiskey, like in reference to like whiskers, like because it's a cat. Like, oh, Whiskey. But I'm like, no, I'm talking about alcohol.
No, like the drink. Yeah, Whiskey's a great name for that cat.
I wanted to name him after something I loved.
And Whiskey it was. So what movie are we watching today? Or talking about, not watching?
Yeah, well. Today we are going to be talking about The Avengers from 2012.
Ages ago. Literally 10 years ago.
It had estimated budget of $220 million.
Holy fuck, that's a lot.
I know, but it ended up making $1.5 billion.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
For a hot minute there, it was the third highest grossing film ever behind Titanic and Avatar.
The Titanic is up there?
The Titanic made a shit ton of money.
What? Why?
Well, maybe we can talk about Titanic one day and we can discuss it more.
maybe one day, yeah. I know Avatar made a crap ton. That movie was fantastic.
Yeah. And both Titanic and Avatar, both directed by James Cameron.
Yes, that guy. I knew him. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Wow. They made a lot of money then.
Good for them. Okay. I think it was like the first comic book movie to ever pass a billion.
Oh, that's crazy. I wonder how like that it gets split up like between everyone, you know? Or does like, do the actors get paid a finite amount and then everything else, like budget or profit, goes to?
Yeah, I think it's the actors get like a specific salary.
Yeah.
And not just the actors. Like, I feel like the people like actually working on it get a specific salary, and there's like percentages for like licensing fees. Like, you might have like, oh, we had to use this famous song, like an AC/DC song or something for Iron Man, right, or whatever, and like the band or the music studio that publishes the band will get a percentage just for using that song.
Right.
And so there's a whole bunch of stuff like that, and then I guess I don't really know where the rest of it goes.
Yeah, no idea, but that'd be interesting to like, you know, research at one point.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what did you like overall think of the movie?
I thought it was pretty good. I think it, I don't know if it was like might, because the Avengers is the last film in phase one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And it actually, there, we can skip our Marvel minute this time, because this came out right after the Captain America movie. There wasn't any other Marvel movies between those two.
Okay.
But yeah, there were six movies in phase one, and this was the last one. So after this, it's like the next chapter in Marvel movies.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think out of the phase one movies, I think it's like in the top half, but you know, it was pretty good, but it wasn't like, oh my God. I feel like as a cinematic accomplishment, it's huge, because like having four different film franchises and then having this giant team up movie where like all of these different universes come together was like completely unheard of before this. Right, and I feel like since Marvel became super successful, like every movie studio has been trying to do these cinematic universes.
Yeah. Ever since they saw the big money you can make by it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I definitely appreciate the work that was put into it, and it's a huge accomplishment, but as a movie by itself, it's like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought it's definitely a movie that you can watch more than once without getting bored.
Yeah.
It's very action packed, and you have like, I love when there's comedy in them, and this one has that comedy factor.
Yeah.
And it's just a good watch, and it's easy to follow. Again, this is like one of those movies that you can sit down and don't need to think. You know, it's like a chill pill, versus like there are other movies out there where you have to think really hard about what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was just pleasing to the eyes. The graphics were great. The cinematography again was really good. What's it called? Not green screen, is it? Is it green screen?
There is a thing called green screen. I'm not sure that that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, what did they use in this movie to? I forget. But anyway,
I'm sure they used some green screen at some point.
Yeah, there's like I forget. But anyway, they're CGI. That's what it was. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, their
CGI was really good. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a movie everyone should watch, and it's a fun one. Like, I laughed in it, which was, you know, awesome. So yeah.
Well, I think it is time for us to step into the boxing ring.
Oh boy. This is a lot of movie to do with the boxing ring. Okay.
It is.
Did you go first last time, or did I go first last time?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
Do you want to go first? Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll say when Loki brings an army and threatens to take over Earth. It threatens to take over the world. S.H.I.E.L.D. must assemble the Earth's mightiest heroes to stop him.
All right.
That's all what right. I got.
Okay. When Loki comes to enslave the human race, a group of man/beasts come together as a team called the Avengers to take down Loki and his army that is released in the portal. I feel like I should put something in there about like that little cube, but I forget what the cube was called. So
the Tesseract.
Yeah, the Tesseract. The Tesseract is Loki's must have. Okay, that's it. I'll have that at the end. No, that's just I forgot what it was called.
Here's what we got. When an unexpected enemy emerges and threatens global safety and security, Nick Fury, director of the international peacekeeping agency known as S.H.I.E.L.D., finds himself in need of a team to pull the world back from the brink of disaster. Spanning the globe, a daring recruitment effort begins.
I was way off.
I think we both are pretty way. I think, like, we got the general gist of it, like, an enemy shows up and they have to put together a team.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, specific terms, I think the only thing is like I specifically said S.H.I.E.L.D. So
yeah,
I think that's good. But like neither of us mentioned Nick Fury, and they used very strange language, like
that
the International Peacekeeping Agency.
Yeah. What? Hello?
And we both specifically mentioned Loki, but this just says an unexpected enemy.
Yeah.
So
I'm not a fan of that one.
So I guess I'll just have to take this one for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I guess you should. I guess you'll have to. Alrighty. Well, you win that round, but I think they did a really bad job of like letting us know what happens in the movie, because that was very because technically S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't even put together in this movie. It was an illegal faction that they rounded up, because technically S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't approved.
No, the Avengers weren't approved. S.H.I.E.L.D. is
Avengers.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the entire organization.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I think the first half is pretty good. The part that confuses me is that at the end it says a daring recruitment effort begins, but the actual recruitment is like 30 minutes of the movie. Like, the team is together for most of it.
Like, hey, you want to do the yes. Okay. That was it. Done. Well, let's jump into it. I mean, we don't have to do any spoilers again, because this movie is extremely old and everyone probably has seen it by now.
That's true. But we are going to take a quick ad break, though, before we jump into it.
Exactly. Let's do that.
And now we can jump into it.
And we're back. I hope you guys like that ad. And we're about to jump straight into this film. All right. Well, do you... I just want to start off, because last movie that we ended with was Captain America. I just want to start off that them showing the flashback when they showed Captain America of him in the ice. I thought that was pretty cool. The fact that they tied in like the previous movie and a scene that we didn't see in the previous movie of like how he was found. And then showing that like as if he's like remembering it, although he was out cold, literally.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but
yeah, that's the only like negative I have of that scene. But I feel like maybe he was told that and they were recording it and he's like remembered the video he saw. I don't know. But I thought that was really cool, the tie back to the previous movie, to this current one that we're reviewing, the Avengers.
I thought the introduction, I think, for all of the heroes was pretty interesting. I liked I can't even pick one specifically. Like, I think they were all pretty good.
I think so as well.
I would say the least strong one is probably Hawkeye's, because his introduction is just like this. There's a huge catastrophe happening at a S.H.I.E.L.D. base and Fury walks in and he's just like, where is Agent Barton? And then one of the other agents is like, oh, he's up in his nest. And then you just like see him like in the rafters, just like staring at everything. And that's his introduction.
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, you see better from up high. Like, okay. okay. But yeah. But I just thought, like you said, the entrances of these characters are pretty cool. Kind of like rounded out and made you aware of where they came from and how they, you know, do their work. But yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to go on to the next point. I was going to say the aircraft carrier that they like got on.
Yeah.
And when they were like, I forgot exactly what they said. They're like, you might want to like strap in for this or something like that. They're like, what is it going to go underwater? And like giant turbines come out of the fucking the water and they start flying. That was so cool. And I remember the first time that I saw that, I was like, holy shit. Like, imagine.
Yeah.
An aircraft carrier flying.
It's actually crazy.
Yeah. It's just wild. It's just like,
and it's kind of really fucking cool. There was a funny moment there as well, because Bruce Banner is looking over, and when they, because I think Natasha had said, like, it's going to get kind of hard to breathe in a minute. And then they were like, oh, is this some sort of submarine? And Bruce Banner was like, yeah, they want me in a pressurized metal tin can. And then they turns into a flying fortress. And he's like, oh, this is much worse.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, this is not good. Which, I mean, I think everything that was filmed on that aircraft carrier was really well done. I think everything was just spot on.
Yeah,
really cool. It's just really cool.
So I did have two negatives about the opening, which was in the intro you hear the other, who is that alien who keeps talking to Loki, and he like has the mask and he's got like two thumbs and whatever. But he does like a voiceover in the beginning, and he says something about like the Tesseract has awakened or something like that. And it was kind of confusing to me, because I was like, what does that mean, the Tesseract has awakened? Because they were running experiments on it or something. But then like when we see inside the S.H.I.E.L.D. base, all of the all of the people are like, "What? It just did this. Like, we weren't doing anything, and just all of a sudden started like shooting stuff out of it and whatever." So I don't really know what that was about. And also, if they're like, "Oh, we have to go get the Tesseract because it's awake now," and I'm like, even if it was in response to them experimenting on it, you'd think back in the freaking 1940s when Red Skull was doing shit with it, like, right, they didn't see it then.
Right. And he was actually like using it. I feel, yeah, like them, like, I feel like they were really not, I don't know. I mean, we don't exactly see what they were doing with it, but
yeah. I mean, I guess I just like, I don't really understand why they're choosing right now to go for the Tesseract.
Right.
And the other thing is,
explain that a bit more.
When shit starts blowing up, Loki gets down there and he's like killing people, and then he like mind controls Hawkeye and Dr. Mm-hmm. Selvig.
Yep.
And while he's doing that, Nick Fury like sneakily grabs the Tesseract and shoves it in a case. And when he did that, my first thought was like, how was he able to do that safely? Because literally in Captain America, when Red Skull touched the cube, he like got vaporized and transported into space.
Oh, yeah.
And then Nick Fury was just like, yoink, and nothing happened.
Right. That's a good point.
So that was a little weird.
A little sus, as the kids would say.
So basically just like a little bit of inconsistency, I think, around the Tesseract itself. But other than that, the opening was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
Yeah.
Now that you got me thinking about the Tesseract. Yeah. I feel like I wish they would have, that alien guy, we only see him once, right? And I wish we would have seen him again. Well,
the other?
Or is it twice?
Yeah, I think you see him three times, but one is like during the credits. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I saw the credits.
See him in the beginning, and then there's another point where Loki like goes to talk to him, but it's like a projection of Loki. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one. I don't know. I wish he would have been in the movie a bit more to like put pressure on Loki.
Because
Loki was doing the most.
I think that was kind of the point. Like, they wanted to show like there is something going on behind the scenes, but Loki was meant to be like the main bad guy, so they didn't want to overshadow him by like showing another villain.
Yeah. Okay, so when we met Loki here in this movie, did we already know what had happened to him and his family exile and all that stuff? Or
that's because we skipped the first Thor movie. But but yeah, so in the first Thor movie, remember we talked about he like let frost giants into Asgard and like destroyed a whole bunch of stuff. He gets in trouble and he gets exiled, and then also part of that movie is the Bifrost Bridge, which we had talked about, that big colorful rainbow thing that Thor uses all the time. The Bifrost was broken at the end of the Thor movie.
Bifrost was broken in at the end of the movie? What?
There's like a physical bridge in Asgard that it allows people to move back and forth between different realms.
Okay. Oh,
the
right.
one that Heimdall is guarding.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And the bridge gets destroyed in the Thor movie.
Okay.
And so that's why there's even a line later when Thor shows up, Loki says something about like, "Oh, how much dark magic did the Allfather have to conjure up to summon you here?" Because he can't use the Bifrost like he normally would. So Loki's saying like they had to use like dark magic to get Thor all the way to Earth.
Dang. Okay. Do we know what that evil guy wants to do with the Tesseract?
Which evil guy?
The thumbs guy.
You probably should have stayed to the till the end credit scene.
I didn't know there was one.
There's actually two of them. There's one. There's like the movie ends, and then there's like the cinematic credits where it's like all of the actors' names, and there's like fancy images in the background, and then there's an end credit scene, and then it goes to just like normal like black and white, like just text scrolling across the screen credits, and then at the end of that there's another scene, but the one at the very end is not that important.
Well, it is what it is. I missed it this time.
Yeah, well, this is actually the first movie where we are get a hint of Thanos, and I think they even talk about it at one point in the movie. I don't know, but I think he mentions that there's like a like someone else, and they're like, "Oh, well, you don't want to disappoint him," or whatever, but they never say his name or something like that. I don't know. but the other is sort of just like a servant for Thanos.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And so it's not necessarily that he wants something with the Tesseract, but Thanos does.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of, partially. Okay, well, that's the Tesseract. I think, I didn't have anything else written about the Tesseract, so.
Yeah. My next two notes for the movie here after the intro scene was I have Maria Hill is a boss ass bitch and yep. Natasha Romanoff is a boss ass bitch.
Yep. 100%, dude. They are definitely some badass characters in this movie.
And the one thing that is, I think, not the best for Maria Hill is her, I don't know what her accent is. It's like sort of southern, but like it drops at some points and it's like not very specific. It's just like a general southern accent.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I thought she was like, you know, from Fort Worth, Texas, that kind of an accent.
Yeah, that was she's like hella southern in the comics, so I know why they were doing that, but I don't quite think she pulled it off.
I feel you. I don't think it really matched, and also with what she was wearing it didn't match either. It was just one of those things. Like, I didn't understand why they were doing it, but I guess, okay. Like, kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than the accent, she was super cool. Just like the right-hand man, woman of Nick Fury, like second in charge sort of a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I think all of the actors in this movie, again, just like, they were really good. They did a very good job. I think the acting was like really fun to watch, and it didn't seem, you know, staged or plotted or I don't know. It was them, you know?
Yeah.
The way it should be.
And I gotta give a special shout out to Scarlett Johansson. I feel like emotionally she had the most work to do in this movie. I feel like for everyone else it was just their normal character, and after Coulson died you kind of see Tony Stark and Steve Rogers are like kind of sad for a moment, but there was like a lot of range, especially with the interrogation scenes for Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson would like so easily like break down and cry, and then after she got the information she wanted she'd like immediately stop and she was like thanks. You see when there are two separate times, like when she goes to recruit Bruce Banner and he like slams his fist on the table and yells at her, like you can see the fear in her face when she like pulls the gun out from under the table, and then later after the Hulk chases her and she like legit has a panic attack and is like sitting in the corner, like
crawled up.
Yeah. There was a lot more acting being done from Scarlett Johansson than some of the other crew members.
Yeah, I can see that. I remember, this is kind of cringe, it's kind of a tangent from what we're just talking, but I remember that Scarlett Johansson was in an interview with someone else after, I think, this movie, and the interviewer asked her what kind of an underwear she was wearing.
Yeah.
Was it this one? Was it this movie?
I don't know if it was this, because she was also in Iron Man 2, so it could have been that. But it definitely had something to do with her character as Black Widow. Because
like
obviously, her outfit is like super tight, and they're like, oh, what kind of underwear do you wear under there? And she was just like, you wouldn't ask that question to any of my male co-stars. Like, why are you asking me?
Right. So cringe. I just wanted to mention that and say how weird a professional interviewer with a professional actor is to ask that.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky enough to even have their time right now, and you're asking that question? Really? That's just unreal. I saw that the first time. I was like, there's no fucking way this is real, but it was.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My next note is I think that this is probably my favorite D suit of Iron Man, where he has that the landing pad on Stark Tower, and he just like touches down, and then like as he's walking the suit gets taken off of him.
Yeah,
that's my favorite putting on or taking off of the Iron Man suit, I think.
Yeah, I wrote that note here. I said Tony taking off his armor, taking his armor off, dash, wow. It was super fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then also the Stark scene inside his house where Loki was with him, like, you know, chatting and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets like thrown off the building, basically. Yeah. And the new prototype Iron Man suit like follows him down in midair
right,
attaches. Like, that is so sick. Oh, it was, yeah.
There's a in Iron Man 2, he has a briefcase suit where he just like literally, it's like this big red briefcase, and he like throws it on the ground and opens it up and then shoves his fists in there, and then it turns into a suit. And that's also pretty cool.
Yeah.
Throughout the movies, he like every single time he has a different sort of like suit mechanism. But I think him walking into the building and having a suit removed is my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, that was really cool. And also the architecture of everyone is Stark's buildings.
Yeah.
Is just like, I wish that was real kind of thing.
Yeah. And we see in his intro sequence, he like was putting something into a power line in the ocean or something like that. Because apparently the idea is that the entire Stark Tower runs off of an arc reactor. And so it's like 100% clean energy. And they were like, oh, it should run the building for like a year.
Yeah. But it was a prototype.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
But yeah, super cool.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like everything that, dude, Stark is such a good Iron Man, bro. I'm not even gonna cap. Like, he is funny, like entertaining. He'll like engage with the other characters like the Hulk in like a heartful way because he's been through a struggle too, and you can tell in this movie. And he was like when the Hulk was like, you know, I'm so angry, blah 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 blah, and Stark was like, you can do it. You just have to put your mind to it. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Stark is like
absolutely
like the widest range.
I love the relationship between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, because they're like, I guess Tony Stark's not really a scientist, but he is a very smart, like he's a genius. And all of the scenes where they're like in the lab together and like working on shit, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love seeing them work together.
Yeah. He's just, everything was just like super cool. He was like, finally another genius, one I could talk to.
How did you feel about everyone's outfits?
I thought everyone's outfit was great, except for the Hulk. I don't know. I feel
those are just shorts.
Just shorts. Yeah. It's like you have all this technology to, that's like the one thing that always triggers me about the Hulk is like at this point in time, they have so much technology, like the reflection panels on that aircraft carrier. I'll just mention that real quick.
Yeah.
How cool that was, where they're like, reflection panels engaged. But they have like all this tech and they can't make like some stretchy fucking clothing for this guy that turns
he's just
giant
like
and green
wearing his own clothes, you know.
Yeah, but like if you are a superhero villain or, you know, superhero or whatever, and you know you have this thing where you grow like 20 times the size of your original body.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You know, you don't need to be waking up naked every fucking time you black out.
Yeah, they kind of address it, but like, because we talked about this last time as well, is like the one kind of weird thing about the Hulk is every time he transforms, everything rips off except for his shorts for some reason. Right. Like he has like the super stretchiest shorts ever like in existence. And the same thing happens in this movie, but there is one scene where he like falls out of the helicarrier. And then when he wakes up, there's just like an old guy standing there and he's like, yeah, I saw you fall through right there and you were buck ass naked.
Right, right. But then all of a sudden he has pants like laying next to him. I'm like,
well, the old guy threw him some pants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's just one thing that I'm just kind of like, they could do better, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought the outfits were good. I enjoyed all of them. I think Captain America's is always kind of very like flashy and.
I didn't like Cap's suit that much.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was a little too flashy.
I felt like
like it was that case when
it
he walked
felt
up to it,
almost like it looks like his like his stage uniform from the first movie.
Right, exactly. Like they made it very soft where they could have made it like super badass.
Yeah, and it was like it was just so colorful.
Yeah.
Like it was very bright.
It was super poppy. Like extremely poppy. I mean, when he walked up to it and it was like that little cage that or whatever it was called. I was like, bro, calm down a little bit, because everyone else's suits were like super badass and like don't fuck with me kind of shit. But
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But you can see the three suits that he had in the Captain America movie, and the last one, it's like it's still got like the red, white, and blue, but it's like it's a little muted, and he's got like the shoulder straps and stuff.
It looks dirty.
Yeah. And but like his Avenger suit looks like the first suit that he was wearing when he was just like singing and dancing.
Yeah. And it's like super clean and looks soft. It looks soft, and it looks like, yeah, like you said, he's back. The only thing he doesn't have is a little things on his hat.
The little wings.
He does actually have that. He does have that on the side.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, just not that. That suit's just not it for me.
Thor, I thought his, because he had two different suits. His first suit was just like kind of casual and like sleeveless, and then when they get into the actual fight, he like summons down lightning and transforms into a different suit that has like metal armbands and shit.
Yeah.
I like his second suit a lot better than the first one.
100%. The second one was badass. But like it also didn't really make sense to me how that happened. But, you know, again, I guess it's the superhero movie and they can just do that. And he's kind of a demigod. So
yeah, I think that was just like his Asgardian magic stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really cool. It was really, really cool. Even Loki's suit was kind of fucking sick as fuck.
Yeah, I really liked the suit that he was wearing when he went to the museum. Or it was just like, it was very subtle. Like, it was just like a suit and an overcoat, but then he had like a green scarf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like when he was out there and the people, he wanted them to kneel, he turned into like, you know, this giant gold horns and all that jazz. Yeah. I mean, was there a suit that you didn't like beside Captain America's?
No, I think it was mostly Cap's.
Yeah, that's like it stood out to me. It was very cringe, I would say.
Yeah,
it was too cute almost.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I have a note. Well, I guess it's not really a note. Never mind. Well, I was gonna go back to like the Hulk because we were just talking about him, and I said great Hulk fight scene. And I think Hulk. Yeah, exactly. I think every time the Hulk busted out into a fight scene,
yeah,
he did really well at it. Like in the aircraft carrier, and he was, you know, trying to kill Black Widow.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was really cool where you saw him like running at you through like these pipes, or like also the scene where he was like jumping from building to building and like catching at the very end when the invasion was happening.
Yeah.
And like smashing them into like the walls, and I thought that was like really good and well done. And then like he, at the very, very end, I think Hulk did so good in this movie where he was like, Hulk, now would be like a good time to like, you know, get angry. And he was like, that's my secret, I'm always angry. And like he turns around and mid turn around, he like transforms into the Hulk and punches that giant creature straight into like the mouth, and the visual effects of it just like, you know how like a car crumples when it hits a solid object? Like that, the creature like crumpled up and like flipped over. It was super fucking cool.
Yeah, that was an amazing moment.
Yeah, I wrote that down. You have to talk about the Hulk and all of his moments, because him being like fucking badass, like I'm always angry, like that's my secret. Turns around, punches like the biggest thing, and like you see this thing's teeth, and I don't know.
And that's another really thing cool that they sort of explore. Like it almost changes movie to movie, but like I don't know really if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, how he transforms?
Yeah, because in the Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton, the one that we didn't watch, like it's not so much about like being angry necessarily, but he always keeps a heart rate monitor on him, and he's like, oh, if my heart rate gets above a certain number, then I'll transform. So it's like he doesn't want to get too angry, but he also like can't have sex or go for a run, like
anything. He can't get scared,
right?
Yeah,
but in this one it seems like more tied directly to his emotions. And then I know in some future films, it's like, it's not even like they really lean into, because in this movie, he always refers to the Hulk as the other guy.
Yeah.
But it still seems like kind of like he's transforming. But I know in some of the future movies, they really split Banner and Hulk as like almost two separate personalities within the same body, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, that makes sense. It's very different from movie to movie.
Yeah.
But I did like this one, if I remember the other ones correctly. I like this one the most.
Okay.
To where like he can command him to come, the other right. guy, quote unquote, right? But at the same time, the other guy can also come when he wants, if right. that makes sense.
Like, yeah, because he talks like, about, like, at one point he like tried to kill himself, and he said he put a gun in his mouth and the other guy spit a bullet out.
Right, right. That I yeah. That like I imagined that happening, and yeah, it was really cool. He's like, well, I can't fucking die. GG's. Yeah. So I guess I'll have to help people.
Yeah.
Use it for good.
I don't really have a whole lot to say about the like the last act of the movie. I feel like once the portal opens and the Chitauri army comes through, like you said, there was that super cool scene with the Hulk, but I feel like the rest of it was kind of just like, it was good action, but it was very PG action. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there was a couple shots of like some, like a part of a building would fall off, and then you see a shot of like some people on the ground, like, and running away. But like, not once, like, did they ever show like any bodies in the street? Like, there wasn't like pretty much no civilians died on screen.
Yeah.
And so it just felt like this was supposed to be like this huge national tragedy, but then they're like, yeah, but no one got hurt, so it's fine.
Right.
And
right,
it felt kind of lame to me that yeah. there wasn't any actual danger.
Yeah. And I mean, like, imagine the amount of people that actually died in the city, though.
That's because, what I'm like, saying. And like you see at the end, there's like, what are those things called where people like go to a park and light a bunch of candles? Is there a name for that? A vigil.
Oh, yeah.
But there's like, you see at the end, there's like a bunch of like TVs and news networks, and you see like people holding a vigil and stuff. And so I'm like, I know that people died. But at the same time, then it's almost the same sort of problem as I was having with the Godzilla movie. Do you remember? It gets to the end and like the whole freaking city is destroyed, and then everyone's like celebrating and cheering and happy, like, oh my shit. God, yeah. The Avengers saved everyone. I'm like, no, they didn't. Like, so many people died. Like, yeah. even if you're like happy that the alien army is gone, like, this is not a time for celebration. Like, everyone would be in mourning at this point.
Right. And it kind of also reminds me of like the Ghostbusters, because again, there, like, the city was destroyed, but the difference is with the Ghostbusters is they actually got in trouble for it.
Yeah.
And you saw that from movie to movie. With these, like, I don't know if anything is ever like redone or like, you know,
well, they do in trouble. They do kind of get in trouble in later movies, but we'll come back to that.
Right, right.
But still, I just like, I always think it's kind of a little ridiculous when there's this much destruction and death, and then people are like wearing Captain America shirts and like cheering for the Hulk. I'm like, the Hulk was literally just like bashing buildings and shit. Like, yeah. even if accidentally, I'm sure there are some people that died like directly as a result of the Avengers. Like, you can't tell yeah. me that when they're like flying through the city shooting at shit, like, they didn't accidentally miss a shot and blow up someone's apartment while they were still inside or something
right,
like that.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, to play a devil's advocate, at the same time, the community could be like, it would have been way worse if they weren't there because aliens invaded the Earth.
No, I mean, you're right. It's like the problem for me is that, like, when you're in a situation like that, like, the numbers don't matter. Like, yeah, you could make the logical argument, like, yes, more people would have died if the Avengers didn't show up. But that doesn't change the fact that a lot of people died. And right. so you could, like, that's something that you would think about later, but it's like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. I feel like every fucking like movie where destruction happens that like, they don't want to spend time on like people being upset or mourning or any of that stuff really.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't want to like end the movie on a sad note, but
why not?
Because it's a freaking happy blockbuster movie. You want to be like, oh, look, yeah. the hero saved the day and everyone's so happy.
Right. But make him sad, you know, just make it so fucking depressing to where Americans are finding like, oh, my God, like this could actually happen, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a German movie, bro. Every time like there's a German movie and they try to make a point that's like it's sad, they make the point and they make the movie depressing. yeah. is real. You know, it's real.
And I mean, there are movies like that. I don't think that it would necessarily be a fun comic book movie if it ended on a sad note.
That's fair.
Although this is like way, way off in the distance at this point, but they actually do that in the future.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
About fucking time.
So we'll get to that. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what I got.
Let's see here. We talked about Hulk. Oh, okay. So here's the one negative that I like actually wrote down that I kind of wanted to discuss.
Right.
And it's perfect timing because, you know, we were talking about city destruction. While all that stuff was going on, they showed a shot of the Avengers and like they were huddled behind like this broken car that's like on flames and the city's destroyed around them.
Yeah.
They're extremely clean. There is like Captain America's suit, right?
Yep.
Like there's no dust on them. Like there's no like dirt fragments. Their faces are clean. Like they just got out of a shower. Like I did not like that. I wanted it to be rugged. I wanted their like to show that like they're in the middle of this thing, not like pristine ballerinas, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this was a very clean movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Clean is the way to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish it was a little bit more dirty, but yeah, I think that's all I have really.
But overall, it was fun. Super, like, I loved the team up. There's a lot of cool action shots. Like, the two most iconic shots are like, there's one where all of the Avengers land in the middle of the street and like the camera pans around them in a circle and they're all like doing a cool action pose.
Yeah.
And then there's the other shot at the end when Loki finally gets up and he's inside Stark Tower and then he turns around and all of the Avengers are like right up in his face.
Yeah.
Like there are some truly iconic shots in this movie. Oh yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, it just like it definitely could have been better, but it was good.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the same thing as like, you know, you don't even need to be critical about it, or even if you are, it's just a fun watch.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
I think this is like it's easy to forget because everyone freaking loves Tom Hiddleston and he does a great job as Loki, but he like is super, super evil in this movie, like probably more so than any of the other ones, because he's like just literally just killing people left and right. And like at one point he carves out a dude's eye or some shit. Like it's wild.
Wait, what?
When they were at the museum in Germany and Hawkeye was trying to like break into a lab and he was like, I'm gonna need an eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have the two different devices. Yeah.
And they stuck it on that guy's face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I kind of squirmed. Like imagine like you're alive and your eyeballs being like ripped out of your skull basically and like scanned.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
So,
but they didn't really show too much of that. Just
no.
Attachment part. And I was like, holy moly.
And of course, we didn't even mention, but freaking Phil Coulson dies in this movie. And it's like a pretty depressing moment. But as I'm sure you know, because you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he does get brought back.
Yes.
So,
yes,
I mean, you probably know more about that than I do because I didn't watch that show.
I mean, I should, but it's been a really long time, so I don't remember.
But yeah,
I do remember he gets brought back.
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like the show starts right after this movie. So like he dies. And then I think like the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is him getting brought back to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's like some
good because
secret alien technology or something.
Yeah. But like also the thing is, like, I don't think he actually died in this scene. He was just stabbed, you know, and they were like, get him like the best care and all that stuff.
No, I'm pretty sure he dies.
Because you'll see if you watch the show.
Well, at one point I did watch the first episode and I remember them talking about like some sort of like I don't remember what they call it, but there's some sort of like weird alien chemical or technology that they have to use to bring him back to life. But he's like, he's proper dead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't really remember that part. It was really long ago when I watched it. So all I remember is really good. I would honestly watch it again. TBHs. But anyway, let's move on to the next portion of the show.
Yeah. Trivia.
Trivia.
Trivia. All right, so I've got some fun trivias here, and I have a trash fact as well.
Let's go. I always enjoy those, quite honestly, man. It's just, Same. Yeah. I like making fun of people sometimes, just laughing at stupidity.
All right. So our first piece of trivia here is Robert Downey Jr. kept food hidden all over the lab set, and apparently nobody could find where it was, so they just let him continue eating in the movie.
No way.
All of the scenes where he is offering people food is his actual food, and it wasn't scripted. He was just hungry.
No way. That is so funny. Man, that guy is such a character.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him like being like not even in movies, just like a red carpet kind of thing where he gets introduced?
Yeah.
There's this one that I watched where he came out, like everyone in the Avengers was like, hey, what's up? What's up? How is everyone doing? Like waving to the cameras. And he walks out like glasses on, like a black briefcase, and like walks up to them, opens a black briefcase, and he has like tons of red roses, and he like throws the roses out at people. And like, you know, it's like doing like a like the fashion kind of moves, like opens his jacket and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's a fucking character.
He really is.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I love that.
I just like imagine them like sending like an intern. They're like, hey, can you just like walk around set real quick? And if you see any weird like chip bags or something, like, just take
food?
Them. And yeah, they're just like can't find it. And then they're like, and action. And he immediately like pulls out a bag of grapes.
A bag out of nowhere. He's like, what the fuck? That's hilarious. Oh, wait, who was the guy again that stole all those socks?
That was...
Was that? I feel like they would get along great. That's all I'm going to say is I feel like those two together, that's a set. That's a, yeah.
Oh, that was Robert Pattinson in the Batman movie.
Oh, right.
He said he took all of his Batman socks.
Yes. I feel like those two would get along well. So funny.
All right, our next piece of trivia here. It says there were very few times where everyone was in town at once, but on one of the nights that they were, Chris Evans sent a text message to everyone that just said assemble, which prompted a night out on the town. And Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, has said that this is his favorite text message that he has ever received.
What did it say?
Assemble.
That's cool. Yeah, that's sick. Just one word.
Yeah. Next fact here, when Loki is being held prisoner on the helicarrier, the computer screen monitoring him shows an infrared image of his cell, and Loki's temperature is shown as blue, which we know means it is cold, due to the fact that he is a frost giant by nature.
Oh.
So like I had mentioned, cool. Again, for anyone that is not familiar with the Thor movie, because we skipped that one, Loki was actually born as a frost giant, and Odin sort of like adopted him / stole him from his real parents.
And why did he do that?
It was sort of like, because the frost giants and the Asgardians had like a super long war, and Odin had like conquered them, and it was like this whole big thing. And then I think at one point it was like, as a peace offering to show you that we shouldn't fight anymore, I'm going to like take one of your sons and like raise him as my own, so you know that like I respect your people, kind of a thing.
Interesting. So he didn't like kidnap him or anything like that?
I mean, I don't remember specifically, but I don't think that was the intention. No.
Okay. Well, then why was Loki so pissed off at them the whole time?
Loki gets pissed off about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's very temperamental little baby.
When Agent Coulson visits Stark Tower, Pepper asks him about the cellist in Portland, and then later in the movie, Tony is also heard telling Coulson that he could fly him over to Portland, and it says here that this woman ends up being a plot point for an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I remember that when I watched this like a while back, when you watch like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it merges with like the movies really well. That's one thing that I remember. Yeah,
I know that because they wanted really badly for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be like parallel to the films. And so I remember even though I never watched it, I like kind of kept on top of like what was happening. And I know like every time a new Marvel movie came out, it would like they would have to like hurriedly figure out how it would affect the show. Like it would be like,
right,
it'd be like, oh, yeah, this they're like aliens attacked London now. And they're like, oh, shit, we have to talk about them in that in the show. Or like, oh, this organization got dismantled and all of these people died. And they're like, oh, OK, we have to address this in the show.
We got to kill them and do it. Yeah. They were very much in unison.
Yeah. Although I think now technically it's not. I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is considered canon.
Wait, what?
Because it was under a different studio. Like, the studio that was making the movies was not the same as the television studio that was making Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they were, like, communicating with each other and, like, doing stuff together, Marvel has moved away from that. And the same with, like, they had some Netflix shows that were like, oh yeah, we're totally part of the same universe, but now Marvel is like completely 100% its own separate thing, and they do all of their own television stuff. And especially now with Disney Plus, like, Marvel is doing, has complete control over the movies and the TV shows that are coming out. And so all of those other studio stuff is not, I think, considered, or maybe it's like partial canon. They're very non-specific about it, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's good for them. That's what you need to do as like a studio.
Yeah,
have control of like everything that's partaking in the story, kind of thing.
Yeah. Our next fact says Stark Tower stands actually where the MetLife building should be. And the digital model of the tower that Pepper is looking at the end shows that the bottom third of the tower actually retains the shape of the MetLife building while the rest of the floors are redesigned.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, sometimes like I listen to these and I'm like, fuck, like I wish I would have like known before. So while I'm watching it, I could like notice it, you know?
I did notice because I was like, I was trying to think because I don't have the layout of Manhattan memorized or anything like that.
Right.
But I did notice that like right outside of Stark Tower, you can like see the Chrysler building. And I was trying to think, I was like, what other skyscrapers are that close to the Chrysler building? But I know there was a bar that we went to that was like, I think it was like the Rainbow Club or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And you could see the Chrysler building from the top floor of that, but it was like farther away than Stark Tower.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Huh. Very cool. That's a cool fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And our last fact here says Steve Rogers wears Converse shoes. Converse was founded in 1908 and started making footwear for soldiers during World War II. So it would be one of the few things that he still recognizes in the 21st century.
Oh, true. He was like, yeah, don't worry. This looks familiar to me.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you said you had a trash fact?
I do have a trash fact. It's not going to mean a whole lot to you because it has to do with one of the post-credit scenes. But do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember when after Iron Man falls out of the portal and he crashes, and then when he wakes up, he's like, "Hey, do you guys like? Do you want to go grab some shawarma?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "I don't even know what it is, but I want some."
Yeah, I remember that.
But at the very end, after the credits, there's like a short like 5 second scene of all the Avengers sitting in a shawarma restaurant eating shawarma.
Oh my god, yo, Tony really made this movie about food, Loki. That's too funny.
But the trash fact here says during the post credit scene, a large letter A can be seen on the wall of the restaurant. While this could be seen as an obvious reference to the Avengers, it's actually a health inspector certificate.
Wait, what? No shot. That's funny. People just don't understand. They don't get it. They didn't get it. That's awesome. Good trash facts right there. The health. That's mind blowing. But was that it? Was that it for them?
That was it.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I want to reiterate that this is a good movie. Everyone should go in and watch it. If you haven't fucking watched it, watch it. And if you have watched it, I mean, it's like, again, it's a good movie to watch again after years of not having seen it.
Yes.
I think, again, I saw this when it came out. So the last time was 10 years ago. Were you saying something?
I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Making sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was it for today. I hope you guys liked, you know, what we showed. And if you guys have any specific other movies, you know how to reach us. It's in our description, either via Twitter or via our email.
And that, like you said, it's in the description, but I'll go ahead and say it. Our email is casualfanaticpod@gmail.com. and our Twitter handle is @CashFanPod. So you can reach us at either of those locations if you have suggestions for new movies or comments or questions in regards to this movie. Also, if you could, on whatever platform you listen to us on, if you could give us a rating and a review, we would really appreciate that. And, you know, subscribe or follow or whatever it is on your platform so that you don't miss any future episodes.
Yeah, and definitely let others know. Tell your friends, family, people. Also, if you are interested in any movie specifically, we would consider it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to send us like a clip of your thoughts and we could, you know, read it or play it even maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.